Good morning. We are going through a series on Ephesians. We're going to be finishing chapter 4. So please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. While you are turning, I'd like to again thank all those who made the Fall Festival possible yesterday. It was a great success, and I had a lot of fun. Maybe the highlight of the evening was going on the hayride with Donnie driving us around. Hadn't done that in a long time. There were some guests that came too. A couple who don't know English that well, but they're excited about being part of our English as a second language class that will be starting up in a couple months. And they have two young kids who are learning both English and Spanish growing up. Also, earlier this week, we had, during the Wednesday Bible study, we had a feed through the internet. We got a little presentation from missionaries from Slovakia. We got to watch them and as they told about their missionary experiences on the other side of the world. And a lot of our global offering to missions this coming, this year will go towards this couple who are working with what are often called the gypsies in Slovakia. Also, I want to make note that we will have a guest next week, a pastor from Malaysia, who will be speaking a little bit about his experiences as a pastor in Malaysia. So I hope you're here next week to listen to that. Let us read together Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The word of God for the people of God. Now, Veterans Day is coming up on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And in honor of that, I'd like to tell a story from when I was in the Navy. The story didn't happen when I was in the Navy. I was told about it, about this captain during the Revolutionary War. When the Navy was still very young, he had a midshipman who was assigned to relay messages to him. And one day the midshipman ran to the captain and said, "Captain, captain, there's a British ship coming straight towards us." And the captain said, completely calmly, "Bring me my red shirt." And so the midshipman, without asking, ran and got the red shirt for the captain, ran back, put it on. The captain put it on, and they went out and they battled victoriously and won. And afterwards, the midshipman came to the captain and asked, "Captain, why did you want me to bring you a red shirt?" And the captain said, "In the heat of battle, when I get cut and I begin to bleed, I don't want my men to lose heart." A few days later, the midshipman ran to the captain, "Captain, captain, there are 3 British warships coming straight at us." And the captain said, "Bring me my red shirt." And so the midshipman brought him his red shirt, and they fought courageously and victoriously. About a week later, the midshipman ran to the captain, "Captain, captain, there's 7 British warships coming straight at us." And the captain said, "Bring me my brown pants." You can tell a lot by what people choose to wear. You can. Both good and bad, I imagine. But what we wear tells people something about us. It might be I'm concerned with the latest fashions. It might be I'm ready to work in the yard. It might be I'm about to go to sleep. It might be I'm about to go to a nice restaurant tonight. It might be I just want to be comfortable. Or it just might be I want to feel like I fit in. But we all wear clothes here and all around the world. It's one of the few cultural phenomena that we all share as human beings. Sometimes it's just a loincloth. Sometimes it's really, really involved. But we all wear clothes. But this morning, I want to talk about something more than the clothes that we wear on the outside. Now, I want to say that I'm not interested in creating rules for how people should dress come to church. I know there's some churches that make a big to-do about how to dress properly when coming to church. That problem has been around from the very beginning. The early church had that problem. The Jewish Christians were telling us Gentile Christians that we needed to dress like them, that we needed to follow all of these other customs, and it wasn't just good enough to come wanting to know about Jesus. It was so bad that Paul had to write a letter to the Galatians and say, there's more important things than what you wear to church. There are more important things, and you should be worried about those things. All should be welcomed into the church, no matter what they wear. Jesus never said, if you want to worship God, then come with your dresses and your suits. He never says that. He did say, if you want to worship God, come in spirit and in truth. And those are the things that we're concerned about today. Peggy Parker's husband, Don, loved to share a story of a little girl sitting at the steps of a church, crying with her face in her hands. Someone comes up to her and asks, young girl, why are you crying? And the girl said, well, I want to come to church, but they don't welcome me. And he responds by saying, it's all right, young lady. I'm God, and they haven't welcomed me for a long time. I pray that Mount Hermon never becomes a church like that. I pray that we can welcome anyone and everyone who comes through those doors, no matter what they look like, no matter what they act like, and no matter what they dress like. Jesus had no dress code for the church, and we're not about to start a dress code for the church. If you want to come to church in a three-piece suit, which I've done, that's great. That's fine. If you want to come to church in overalls, which I've done too, that's fine too. I thought maybe we should have an overalls Sunday where we all come dressed in our overalls just to show, just to prove to our community that it doesn't matter what you wear, it doesn't matter what you can afford, that you just come to church. Come to church in your overalls. Why? Why do we spend so much time worrying about the clothes we wear on the outside? We should worry more about what we wear on the inside. And that's what Jesus worried about too. That's what Jesus chastised the religious leaders about too. He called them whitewashed tombs. You know what a whitewashed tomb is? It's a tomb that is beautifully painted on the outside, but on the inside, it's still dead. It's still a dead corpse on the inside. And that's what he called the religious leaders during his time, that they were dressed beautifully in robes and long tassels and all of these beautiful accoutrements. But on the inside, they were rotting, stinking, dead corpses. Are you a religious leader today? Make sure that you're not a rotting corpse telling other people what clothes they should put on. Jesus may be talking to you. Imagine a hospital, imagine Duke University Hospital giving an announcement tomorrow saying, we're only allowing people to come to our emergency room who are dressed in nice suits and dresses. What would you do? How would you react to a hospital that would give preferential treatment? I don't know about you, but if I'm in an emergency, I don't get dressed. No, I come just as I am. Just as I am, and waiting not to cleanse my soul of one dark blot. That's what we sing when we call people to the church. We are like a hospital. We're calling the sick to come. And if there's any emergency room, it's on Sunday morning in the sanctuary, the emergency room for the world. And who are we to bar any sick person from coming to God because of a pair of jeans or sandals? No, let's worry about what we're all wearing on the inside. Everyone is wearing something under their clothes. It's invisible, like the emperor's new clothes, so don't try looking. But, if you wait long enough, and if you're perceptive, then you can see these invisible clothes in yourself and in others. Sometimes they're wonderfully beautiful, and sometimes they're terribly horrible. Sometimes these clothes are called one's character, but as God's children, we're given clothes called new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. What do these clothes comprise of? Well, they comprise of a lot of things, some being our mind and our heart. And if you look back to the passage, starting at verse 17, notice how Paul talks about our mind and our heart. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. This, what Paul is talking about, is our mind and our hearts. that need to be renewed. The mind and heart have been corrupted by sin, so much so that we cannot save ourselves. In the passage, Paul talks about how we've lost all sensitivity. We don't even know what to look for. Sin, in a sense, makes the world gray. It sucks the color out of life. I remember when I made Christ my Lord and the Spirit filled me. I saw colors, literally, I saw colors that I had never seen before in the world. I don't know how to explain it, but the world became more colorful for me with the Spirit inside. What do people do when the color of the world is lost? Well, they try more and more extreme ways to try to reclaim that color in life, to reclaim that feeling they once had. If any of y'all have struggled through addictions, then you understand that's what an addiction is. You try and try to get that color back in life. But you realize, as Paul writes in this passage, that it doesn't satisfy. It never satisfies. There's a continual lust for more. And this desire is deceitful. It's a deceitful desire. Now, God gave me new eyes, but he gave me a whole new everything. And that's what God wants to give. God wants to give you a new heart, a new mind, a new soul, and new strength so that you can love him with all of that, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But you can't just say, okay, I'm done with everything that I've been doing, and I just want to get rid of it. You can't just say that. That is not enough. You need to replace it with something. Like the passage says, you need to put off so that you can put on. If you know anything about this world that we live in, anytime there's an empty space, it will be filled by something. An empty vacuum will be filled by matter. An empty room in your house will be filled by stuff. You need to fill something because it will never stay empty. If you don't fill something, it will be whatever you emptied will be returned. If you try to take off these addictions without replacing it with something, they will come back. This morning's passage talks about a few things that we're to take off and to put on. I'm going to mention three of them this morning. The first one is found in verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. Lying is not new. We've been lying ever since we were taught how to lie by the serpent in the garden. The serpent lied, deceived Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve deceives God. They hide their truth of their misconduct behind clothings of figs and an alcove of foliage. But when they're discovered, even when they're discovered, Adam and Eve, they share half-truths with God, telling them about others who are culpable of their misconduct. Neither Adam nor Eve say, "Yes, I disobeyed you, God." They don't just say that. And we continue to wear this deception as clothing. When was the last time that you've heard a child say to his or her parent, "Yes, I've disobeyed you"? When was the last time you heard that? I mean, kids, if you want to give your mom a heart attack, you just say that. Next time you do something wrong, you just say, "Yes, I've disobeyed you. I apologize." You'll give her a heart attack. I promise. Because you never hear it. You never hear it. You hear justifications. Oh, we tell ourselves legends about George Washington, who supposedly said, "I cannot tell a lie. I've cut down the cherry tree." But you go to Ferry Farms in Fredericksburg, Virginia, where he allegedly did this. You talk with historians that have devoted their whole life to George Washington, to studying this life, this one man, and they'll say, "Oh, that's just a legend. It never happened." But I could have told you that. It never does happen. You never hear people taking off this clothing of deception and putting on truth, at least, in their own power. From the White House to the outhouse, from the jailhouse to God's house, we all wear this clothing of deception, and a little too comfortably, too. No, God calls us to cast off falsehood, but also to put on truth. In a few weeks, we'll be covering the armor of God, the last sermon in Ephesians, and among this armor is called the belt of truth. The belt of truth. And I imagine if soldiers wore suspenders back then, they'd probably be called the suspenders of truth. But a belt, a suspender, they all serve the same purpose. They keep you together, right? Without a belt, you'll be looking like a fool with your pants on the ground, right? No, you got to have a belt to put everything together, to keep everything together. And that's what truth does. It keeps you as one person. It keeps you from being duplicitous, from being one person to one and another person to another. God calls us to put on truth, to take off our deception and to put on truth. Number two, in verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. We're called to take off this old clothing of thievery. Now, stealing is probably just as popular and been around just as long as lying. And you might say, "Oh, Pastor Rich, I promise you, I have never stolen a thing in my life." Well, perhaps you're not guilty of stealing according to U.S. law, but we're called to a higher law, a moral law given by Christ, and we have all stolen. Perhaps we've stolen someone's good name through gossiping. Perhaps we've stolen someone's praise by taking credit for what they've done. Perhaps we've stolen God's honor by disobeying God. But we've all stolen. And what does Paul say is the opposite of stealing? What does he say in this passage? It's sharing, right? Generosity, to give. Stealing is making someone give something up by force, whether it's physical force or stealthy force or force of position. That's what stealing is. You take something from someone by force. And giving, on the other hand, is to give something willingly, right? That's what generosity is. And that's why Jesus says, I believe on the Sermon on the Mount, if somebody takes your cloak, somebody takes your jacket, then you give them your shirt. That's generosity defeating thievery. Or if somebody forces you to walk a mile, then you'll walk 2 miles. That's generosity defeating thievery. I think about Pilate and the others who were responsible for crucifying Jesus. They wanted to steal his life away. But little did they know that Jesus had already chosen to give his life. We're not called to follow Pilate's example of stealing, but Jesus' example of giving. And if I had more time, I'd talk about the necessity of Christians to give to the church, to give to those in need, to make it a habit of giving. We're called to take off this clothing of stealing and put on generosity. And third and final point, we find in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. It's a hard thing to convince Americans because of our culture. But sometimes silence is more valuable and definitely rarer than some things that we say. Sometimes it's just better to keep our mouths shut. And I imagine all our grandmas taught us that. It's better if you have nothing good to say nothing at all. But I encourage you, because I'm guessing, if you're like me, I mean, half the things you say, you don't even remember. You're not even thinking what you're saying. I encourage you, buy yourself a tape recorder and record yourself for a whole day. You'll be surprised what you say. Psalm 141 this morning, it's a great verse. I'll read it one more time. Psalm 141, verse 3. This is a great verse to memorize and say it before you get out of bed every day. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. A nice short verse. And I think I'll keep this third point short for fear of undercutting my point. But we're called to take off unwholesome talk and put on edifying talk, to build one another up. Well, I'll end with this one other story of two brothers walking through town, and they find a store with a sign on the front. It says, suits $5, shirts $2, trousers $2.50. And so one of the brothers turns to the other and says, if we buy a bunch of these clothes, we can go back to our town and sell them and make a fortune. This would be great. So they ran into the store and they go up to store owner and said, we'll take 50 suits for $5 each, 100 shirts for $2 each, and 50 pairs of trousers for $2.50 each. I'll be coming back with my pickup and you can just put them all in that truck. So the store owner just looks at them and asks, you're not from around here, are you? And the brothers say, no, no, how'd you know that? And he said, well, we here call this a dry cleaners. We don't sell clothes. Now these brothers, they thought they were getting a good deal on some clothes. The clothes that God wants to give us, they're not $5, they're not $2, they're not $1. They cost his son. The life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ was the price for us to put on these clothes. And God will sell them freely to you. He will give them. He will show what generosity is like. He will give them freely to you. But he also wants to help, because he knows it's impossible to take off our old self and put on our new self without his Spirit. He wants to cast off your old habits and addictions, and he wants to put a new person on you, a new creation marked by truth, generosity, and edification. If you would like a new set of clothes before you leave this emergency room, then I welcome you to come forward during the hymn of invitation. If you would like help. And help comes through the church. God has given the church to all of us to help us cast off the old and put on the new. I encourage you to become part of Mount Hermon Baptist Church, to be committed as members so that you may know that we are all committed to you. And also, if you have any other decisions that you would like to make before your family, come this morning during the hymn of invitation. May you bow your hearts with me as we pray. O Lord, we thank you that you have come to help cast off these old clothes that we've worn all our lives, clothes within that we have been hiding, and to give us a new creation. O Lord, soften our hearts so that we may accept your gracious gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.